Football up tonight. Bills Dolphins, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We talked a lot about this game, Pearl, because Tyreek Hill and this crazy week that he's had and all that it adds on top of this, you know, already pretty good rivalry, but it's not the game of the week. Like, let's be honest. A lot of people are going to watch this game, and it's an exciting game, but the game of the week, in my opinion, is the Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ah, okay.
That is the game of the week. And right now, Kansas City is a robust favorite in this one. It went from 6 to 5, but the Chiefs are obviously clear favorite. And the way that Cincinnati played in week one, you can understand why the Chiefs might be this favorite. But I think this is very, very important to the Bengals.
Okay.
Now, I know the Bengals are a team that generally gets off to slow starts, and then they have a way of just hitting an extra gear at the end of the season, and I guess ultimately that's what matters. Right. However, it's been a minute since we've seen Joe Burrow do the Burrowhead thing where he's gone into Kansas City and made a statement. And why do we put the Cincinnati Bengals kind of ahead of other contenders in the AFC, like the Buffalo Bills or like the Baltimore Ravens? Is because they've gone into Arrowhead and they've won when it matters. And I think it's important for the Bengals, and I think from their side of things, to show that they still are capable of doing that. Now, the Bills have gone into Arrowhead in the regular season and won. I know that other teams go there and win. But there is this idea that the Bengals are the true rival of Kansas City because they've been able to beat them in the playoffs at Arrowhead when these other teams have not. And I think that is why it's important to maintain this rivalry and maintain and keep Kansas City off balance a little bit by going in and winning and also trying to avoid an 0-2 hole.
But why? I mean, they pretty much have an 0-2 hole every year and have great success. So if there's any team that doesn't need to win this week, it is the Cincinnati Bengals. In fact, I don't know if you want to, like, go look at history. I think the Bengals might want to throw this one to keep their streak going. Zach Taylor's never won in week two. They dropped a game the Super Bowl year. They dropped a game to a bad Chicago team in this situation, just like they dropped last week's game to New England.
Yeah.
They are a different animal. They just have these slow starts. And if you look at their schedule, you know, they have this tough game against Kansas City, but then they got Washington and Carolina to get right. I would sit T. Higgins for this game because I don't think it's important to them at all. And the big picture, you're talking about sort of a proving to who. They have bigger goals. I think that they would be confident enough in who they are to say, we don't need to put on a show here against Kansas City. We got to get healthy and look at the big picture.
I think they want to maintain this sort of, it's not even footing with Kansas City, but it's as close as I think any other team in the AFC has with Kansas City by virtue of winning the AFC championship game there. And then what happened the next time? Then they lost it. You got Travis Kelce making fun of the mayor of Cincinnati. Like, there is something about maintaining your status, I think, as the close rival. You go there, you lose by a touchdown, maybe two. If it looks as bad as it did against the New England Patriots, I think people start to put Kansas City maybe into a different category because you add on top of it Joe Burrow's wrist injury. You add on top of it Ja'Marr Chase's slow start because of the missed training camp. T. Higgins is hurt. You had issues on the defense where you had, you know, Trey Hendrickson asked for a trade. Everyone, I think it's important for Cincinnati, and I think it's important to the rivalry that this game look a certain type of way and that Cincinnati be very competitive in this game. I don't think you can just throw it and say, all right, we'll lose 42-10 and it doesn't matter because we'll get you later. I don't think that exists with these special rivalries. Like when Tom Brady played Peyton Manning, we never said, hey, this could be a throwaway game for Peyton Manning.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Say Kansas City wins and say it's even lopsided, 42-10.
Yeah.
If they played in the divisional round, what would be the first thing you would say about that week two matchup?
Three words.
Throw it out.
Okay, but
everybody will say that.
Here's a question, though. Let's flip it the other way, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's use a different example of another rivalry where they're really not on the same footing, but let's say it's the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers,
right,
who did get blown out.
Right.
What's the first thing that we would say if they met in the playoffs again? They can't beat this team.
Can't beat any team in the postseason.
I'm just saying, I think in order for Cincinnati not to get left in the dust here in this rivalry, like the Chiefs are on. The Chiefs, when you think about it, because they played Thursday night last week, and then we had a lot of time your team played on Friday night, and then we had a whole college slate, then we get a whole NFL slate. Kansas City looked pretty good.
Yeah, and They're a two-time defending champion. Right. Thanks for that headline there, Mac.
Okay. And you know what? It feels like they could be on the doorstep of, like, leaving everyone behind them.
Mm.
And Cincinnati has been the one team that has actually been able, I think, I don't know if they strike any fear to the Kansas City Chiefs, but at least makes Kansas City think twice. Kansas City's got Buffalo's number. They've got Baltimore's number. Yeah. They cannot say that right now about Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm not sure I see it that way at all. First of all, Baltimore was real close last week in Kansas City. They were a toenail away from winning that game.
Isaiah Likely's toe.
All right, let's put your theory to the test. You're Zach Taylor. T. Higgins, the trainer, comes in and says, you know, we can force him out there, our number two receiver, who's really a number one. We can force him out there, but it might risk his long-term health just a little bit. Is it worth it for this game?
Well, I mean, you're asking it could risk his long-term health. Okay. Then you've kind of made the decision.
But it's a calculus. You know how it is with these players. Like, you can, like, last week, Christian McCaffrey talked about, like, we could have played if it was an important game, but we didn't deem it as an important game. You know that that exists in the NFL.
Sure.
Would you push T. Higgins out there if he was 50-50?
I think so.
I'm trying to find a way to use him in the correct way. That's a mistake.
They also have Ja'Marr Chase who's out there, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
Well, he's out there. It's just it's his own fault that he's on a pitch count.
Yeah.
That's not because he's hurt.
No. But I don't think that you can view the Bengals without T. Higgins. Like, that's a different team. If that is not a fully constituted team if there's no Higgins. They're playing Jermaine Burton, who really was a disappointment in college, and now he's going to be a disappointment in the pros, maybe. I honestly think that that's a big deal. And I think that Bengals are going to look at this game as a work in progress. I do not think that they're... This is not do or die. We know how the Bengals are. They haven't formed their real team yet.
How long can you afford to keep doing
apparently forever.
To the end of time. 855-212-4227. Even though with Burrow and the questionable health that he's had
over the last few years. He comes in hurt every year. Last year it was they were 0-2.
Calling card.
Last year they were 0-2. Burrow was I think he was hurt last year, right? In preseason then they went to 5-3 and he got hurt. Every year. It's unbelievable. They are very consistent. In fact, I'd be nervous to be too good. The Bengals are going to have all the excuses in the world. They're not going to walk away and say, they really have our number. It's not going to feel like that at all. And by the way, we don't know who Kansas City is. You say they're not a blowout 42-10 team anymore. Are they there like, we're going to run and play defense? So I don't know that they're going to embarrass them, even if they're not at full strength.
Well, I think they went up against Baltimore, who also is very good. Like, I think if Kansas City, I think, was playing a team, I think that first game was a better match. It was a great matchup. We know that. And it was because Baltimore's, I would say, in midseason form, they had a lot of mistakes, self-inflicted wounds, all that stuff. But they're a worthy opponent.
Yeah, but I don't think the Chiefs blew out anyone last year. They're a much more conservative team. Maybe we've been wondering about, will they have this vertical passing game? I'm just not sure that they need to do that this week. I think they'd be more likely to run the ball a lot because the Bengals couldn't tackle the Patriots at all. So why not just run Isaiah Pacheco at them? I don't see it as an embarrassment. I really think the Chiefs are going to win, and I don't think the Bengals are going to walk away demoralized. I think they're going to say, okay, we'll get you next time.
855-212-4227. I mean, I think it's important for Burrow, too. You know, he, in this weird way, he's a tier one quarterback. We all know that. We know it. But there's this kind of thing where Mahomes gets a lot of the attention. Josh Allen gets a lot of attention. Lamar gets all the awards. Aaron Rodgers gets a lot of attention because, as one of my friends like to say, the most dangerous place in the world is standing between Aaron Rodgers and a microphone. Burrow is weirdly the understated guy, partly his personality, but doesn't get as much attention, I think, as those other dudes. And it's odd because he's definitely the second-best quarterback in the league, right?
No. First of all, that's not true. Second of all, he gets a ton of attention. When he cut his hair, it was like a national headline.
Because it looked bad.
Third of all, what does anyone in the Cincinnati Bengals locker room care about what kind of national attention he gets? It's almost totally irrelevant.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is because, again, you fancy yourself the true rival of the Kansas City Chiefs because you've actually been able to beat them. Yeah. And the reason why is, because you got your defense and Lou Anarumo and he's the defensive god or whatever, their defensive coordinator. But it's also because you feel like you've got the quarterback that can go toe-to-toe that's not going to make the mistake. Josh Allen will most likely make a mistake. We're not sure about Lamar Jackson, can't win a big game yet. Burrow's been able to do it and to keep somewhat in striking distance, I think, of Mahomes in people's minds in terms of who are the best quarterbacks right now, I think it's important for Joe Burrow to play well. I do. I don't think he can go in and play like he played against New England. That's not good for him, in my opinion.
In people's minds, well, this is football. Like, you don't win because the fans think a certain way or that. Okay, none of that matters at all. Like, 0%. What does Joe Burrow care how people view him? I mean, he's got to go out there and play football. And also, I don't think Burrow really cares. He seems immune to all that.
He might not, but it's the way we talk about the team.
Yeah, the way we talk about the team. Exactly. It's completely meaningless to actual football,
well,
right?
Well, I'm talking about...
confidence?
There's a football aspect of this, and then there's also the off-the-field aspect. I'm talking about two different things that are at stake in this game, if you will. And one is obviously way more important than the other. One is the football side. And then the other side is just sort of how we talk about the Bengals.
Right. I feel like the public perception is totally meaningless. Like, 100%, especially because we get it wrong every year with the Bengals. We write them off.
You're winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
No, I say we get them wrong every year after they start out 0-2, and then Burrow catches fire. This is a perfect case for them to get healthy and get better. Like, Chase will ease into it, and T. Higgins will be back. You could see them. If they lose this game, they're probably going to win the next two games and be 2-2 and be fine. So I think they're used to this. Honestly, if I'm the Bengals, I throw this game. History, Maggie. You got to look at the way.
Game.
You got to look at the way. You know, he's just had good luck losing in week two. Zach Taylor, the coach, is like.
So now it's a superstition.
Honestly, you don't want to change it up now, Maggie. Everything is looking good.
Yeah, keep it going. Is everything looking good? Joe Burrow gets hurt every other year.
Well, I mean, it's looking as good as it ever does. Like, again, count out Joe Burrow because he can't hold a water bottle, apparently, on social media. I'm seeing these pictures of him dropping a water bottle. Count him out. You did it last year. Not you, but everyone did it last year. They've done it multiple times. The guy came back from ACL surgery and tore up the league. He is, you just can't stop him. And when it looks down for Joe Burrow, that's when he plays his best. They're going to go 0-2 and make the playoffs, Meg. I feel very good about this.
The water bottle story might be the dumbest thing we've ever done as a society.
I mean,
we've done a lot of stupid things.
A guy with a broken wrist can't hold a water bottle. That's not relevant to your quarterback.
He held it. I don't know what people were talking about. He grabbed the water bottle and he squirted some water in his mouth. Where was him? He didn't drop it. It's not like he was, oh my gosh, and then started holding his wrist. He's definitely shaking his wrist out a lot. He's moving it around a lot on the sidelines. But I don't understand it. This was so silly to me. Here's Joe Burrow. Can we hear cut one, Manny? He's confused by the story, as everyone was.
And the way you picked it up, that they said there might be something wrong with the wrist.
I picked it up weird?
Yes. Did you feel like you did? Huh?
I don't know. I drank water. I can't say I've seen that or know what anybody's talking about.
I'm not talking about the reporter who asked him the question. It definitely was a big deal, I guess, on social media. But this is why some athletes don't respect the media. He's like, I'm sorry, I checked notes, drank water, and now this is a story? Silly.
Maggie, dude's got a hurt wrist.
Oh,
did you watch it? Like, of course, what do you think he's going to say? Yeah, you're right, my wrist is really banged up and I'm having trouble. Of course he's going to say that.
I'm Joe.
Dude has got a hurt wrist and is playing with his wrist on the sideline. Of course everyone's going to talk about that. If you had a hurt knee and you're flexing your knee... Yeah, I mean, this is obviously, there are a lot of bettors out there, and they don't care about anything except what Joe Burrow's wrist looks like.
Oh, that's fine. Ask him about the wrist. Ask him about it every day season.
That whole story is about the wrist.
But it's about that he couldn't pick up a water bottle. Here's Burrow. He's asked whether his wrist recovery is limiting his throwing ability. This is a legitimate question.
Your wrist isn't preventing you from throwing any throws that you've thrown in the past.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, and
so
you know,
want to say that?
Can I translate from NFL player
convincing.
That means nothing. The water
bottle didn't mean anything either.
Did you see the video of it?
Yes, I did. I didn't see anything.
It looks like he's an 80-year-old with arthritis. It's just like, oh, man, just like, and I get that because I have a lot of finger problems from basketball. They're all broken. Just doing everyday household chores can be annoying.
Yeah.
That's the first sign of trouble. By the way, there's not an NFL injury that I don't relate to at some point.
I was going to say, you are on the injury report. You must be questionable every day walking in.
You're telling me, as someone who did pick the Bengals, when I see him on the sideline looking like his wrist is about to fall off, that I shouldn't be worried?
No, you should. You should.
And Burrow knew exactly what they were talking about. He's just trying to be a tough guy, and he does not want to give opponents any inkling that he's hurting. That's important.
Well, that's important, obviously. But, I mean, he's got this wrist injury. I know the yardage total wasn't very good, but he did attempt 29 passes. If his wrist is really that hurt, maybe you limit that number a little more. Now you're trailing in the game.
29?
So. Yeah, I mean, it's not 40, but Jacoby Brissett threw fewer attempts.
And yeah, that's Jacoby Brissett. 29 is not a big number.
It's not a big number, but if your wrist is really hurting, and again, I know you're trailing in the game.
Yeah.
But you weren't trailing by a lot. You're trailing 10-0
at
halftime.
You couldn't get the Patriots off the field, which was a crazy thing. But you couldn't tackle Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah, I don't think this is a critical game. I think we should put up a poll. Is this a critical game versus the Chiefs for the Bengals? I say absolutely not.
855-212-4227. I say yes. So there you go. That's at Maggie and Pearl on X. All right, lots to do today. Glad you're with us. Got some fun guests for you later on today. Shane Battier and Alex Smith are going to join us together. It's pretty cool. They got a new podcast. That's going to happen later on in the show. We also had an unfortunate incident yesterday with Shannon Sharp. We got to know a different side of this man. I'm sorry. We got to hear a different side of him, and that was unfortunate. There are hot mics, Pearl, and then there are hot mics. And, yeah. Yeah. 855-212-4227. We'll explain everything next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I hate when stuff breaks overnight, Maggie, because we start at 6 a.m. Eastern. Like, we should be on top of this stuff. But it come in today, and you're like, did you see about the Pac-12? The Pac-12? What is the Cougars up to something good? Break it down for me. Yeah, this is exciting.
The Pac-12 may be back, ladies and gentlemen.
It's back.
Maybe. We're getting closer to the Pac-12 being back. Woke up this morning. News had leaked out that the Pac-12 is going to be adding 4 teams from the Mountain West. So our good friends in Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Fresno State are going to join Oregon State and Washington State in the 2026-2027 season. And we get the Pac-12 lives. Now, here's the caveat. They still need 2 more teams in order to reach the NCAA requirement for how many you need in a conference.
To be a conference. Yeah.
So you need more than 6, so you need 8. So let's start spitballing here. Let's back of the envelope this, guys. I mean, I'm thinking Stanford and Cal, maybe go back. SMU.
Stanford and Cal are not going back.
It's so stupid that they're in the ACC.
I don't know. Cal looks good. I mean, there's no way. They want to, it's a long shot, but at least they want to be in play for the 12.
No, I get it. Being a part of the ACC, you get the automatic bid. But here's the thing about the 12-team college football playoff. This is all on a trial basis. They could change the format at any time. They're not locked into how many automatic bids and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, if the Pac-12 puts something together, I don't think they're getting an automatic bid, but maybe there's room.
I don't know. First of all, the ACC, we'll see what happens with that. But generally, I think that Cal beating Auburn was like, whoa, this is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to Cal football since Aaron Rodgers left. I think that'd be crazy. Because let's face it, Pac-12, even if you add these teams, there's no way they're getting close to an automatic bid. I mean, even if they do redo the 12-team playoff format, I think you need a real blue blood in there.
I was surprised that this was happening. Andrew Bogish just joined us. I don't know if I just stepped all over one of your lead stories in your update, but if you have anything to add, we'll take it.
Well, I do. I think the number that you were just discussing, the 8 number, I think that is what allows them to have a conference championship game.
Oh, got it.
Which is what they want. I also saw either Pat Forty or Dennis Dodd say that Stanford and Cal are very unlikely because the ACC wouldn't let it happen. That it's more Conference USA teams that are west of the Mississippi, like UTSA. But the 6 that we know right now, there's clearly a pattern. You have to be blank state.
Yeah.
So start there. Who else says state at the end of their name? They've got dibs on one of these spots here.
You know, that's not really by design. It just happens to be that way, right?
I'm assuming it's by design. It's likely not. But it's like this bizarro misfit. It's like not Washington, it's Washington State. It's Oregon State. It's San Diego State. It's Colorado State. It's all of the stepbrothers.
Well, how great. Also, by the way, we got the Civil War this weekend. This is so weird to me that it's happening in week 3 of college football? You get Oregon State. EJ, who should join the new Pac-12?
Get the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors into that mix.
Oh, that's
this is not CFB 25, dude. This is not EA Sports.
I don't care, man. This is a chance to bring a pretty cool program into a bigger brand. You know, who doesn't love going to the islands for a game? I mean, maybe not those teams, but it's a fun trip. I mean, it's beautiful. Give the media members more reasons to get out there. Like that's one team for sure. I can't get you the second team. I don't. Hawaii's not a state, so unfortunately, I don't know. There's no Hawaii State, as far as I'm concerned, at least not in D1.
You will get Idaho and Idaho State, and you will like it.
You know what?
Make them one exception, and then find another state school, and then you got your eight.
I mean, Idaho, that they appointed themselves quite nicely against Oregon. Yeah. And by the way, speaking of Bogus saying this is not Madden, so Manny Rodriguez is in with us today. Manny wanted to let us know this morning that we're talking to the two-time national champion at Arizona State. That Manny,
hey, you want me in the Pac-12?
In Madden 25.
Yeah, recreated the Pac-12. Pac-12 is back in my multiverse.
And not only that, but Arizona State is crushing it. So we didn't realize we had a legend in our midst.
By the way, I'm looking at the Conference USA teams approach. There aren't a lot of states there, and half of these teams, I'm not even sure what the
what state they're
for.
In.
this is very confusing because you have Jacksonville State, and that's the one that's in the wrong state, right?
It's in Alabama,
right? And then you have MTSU, which could be Montana State University or Middle Tennessee
it's
State.
Middle Tennessee,
Blue Raiders,
And then Sam Houston has no state. La Tech, no state. UTEP. Florida International.
Does New Mexico State play Division
New Mexico State is in there. And Liberty.
Look out.
But Liberty owns this conference. They're on the East Coast.
They're too far east.
That doesn't matter anymore, does it? The Pac-12 might as well start raiding the East Coast. I mean, is UConn still... They just joined somebody, didn't they?
No, that got pulled off, actually.
Yeah, Big 12 said we're pausing this.
So UConn likes to fly around the country. Didn't they join the Mountain West at one point?
AAC.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
they were playing like Houston and Rhode Island, and in the same week, it's just stupid. I'm excited the Pac-12's back, even though
you're excited. Well,
it was their own undoing.
Like, yeah, I mean the Pac-12. You say it immediately, negative things come to mind. Like they screwed this up, and they were so arrogant about it.
Can you imagine the wonky TV deal that they're going to get? I mean, this is going to be like broadcasted on the side of a truck or something. No, I'm just kidding.
They're already on the CW.
Oh my
Can't
God.
Get much wonkier than that.
It's going to be one of the streaming services. We'll definitely.
No,
step
I mean,
up, right?
If you on a Saturday afternoon, if you want to go through if you still have cable, there are literally 500 games on seven. I can't believe the amount of channels that college football is on.
By the way, was anyone looking for a game last night? I was like, where's my Maction? And nothing.
Oh, that starts later.
Yeah, it's too early for Maction.
Yeah.
Bomb, though. I really could have used a game last night.
I watched the WNBA game.
Yeah, Liberty. And, the Aces and the Fever.
When the Pac-12 was still a thing and they were looking for schools to initially come in and rebuild, didn't they say that all of these four schools were Boise and San Diego State, like, weren't good enough academically to be in their company?
They've changed their tune. Okay. I mean, when it's Oregon State and Washington State, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They're checking SAT scores now? Come on. It's just so much easier for those two teams to join the Mountain West than it is now the four teams from the Mountain West to join the Pac-12. But
I can't remember. Is there another example of a major famous conference that became a mid-major? Well,
the Big East.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a football.
Not football, but basketball.
Yeah. But basketball is a little different, right? But, like, a football conference that has ever downgraded like
well,
this.
Well, the ACC.
No, I mean, the ACC has grown.
Yeah.
It's odd. Now they're becoming like, why did the Mountain West and the Pac-12 just join?
Well, that's what they thought was going to happen, but apparently that's not the case. So I saw our pal Trista Crick like posted the Undertaker, you know, the meme where he sits up out of the coffin. It's like the Pac-12 is not dead yet.
You know, the Mountain West still has San Jose State and Utah State, if we're going to keep that trend going, to pull into the Pac-12.
Yeah, but just then what yanking. Becomes of the Mountain West?
I believe a tweet I saw was dust to the wind.
Aw.
That would be a shame.
That's kind of a shame.
Yeah. But if this new Pac-12 takes off, let's get really far down the road. They should be talking to Gonzaga about coming to play basketball with them.
Wait, what are those two teams you said that are in the Conference USA?
No, Mountain West still has San Jose State and Utah State to pull out if they wanted to.
Yeah. I'm looking, by the way, I'm so sorry. I gave you the wrong conference. I gave you last year's Conference USA. You have Kennesaw State is now in play, too.
That's Georgia, right? That's too far east.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Carl, that could have been in Nevada. He has no clue.
I mean, talking about a confusing conference, Jack State in Alabama, Kennesaw State, Middle Tennessee State. I know where that is.
Well, Middle Tennessee State. An IB education doesn't get you what it used to.
Middle Tennessee State in Kentucky. And then Sam Houston, that's got to be in somewhere. Is that in Houston? What city is Sam Houston in?
I always assumed it's in Texas, right?
Is it San Antonio, right?
It's definitely in Texas. That's all I got. And actually, right. I don't look in this league. I don't know where Liberty is.
Liberty is in, I think I know. It's in South Carolina.
Sam Houston is in Huntsville, Texas.
Okay.
Liberty's in Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Lynchburg, Virginia.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Beautiful this time of year. Bogish, what other headlines do you have for us?
It's all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. I think this is the timeline of some AL East, Central, and wild card developments last night going back and forth. The Royals took a 3-2 lead, top 10 at Yankee Stadium on a wild pitch. The Orioles were winning at Fenway, so the Yanks were in danger of giving up the division lead. But then Boston outfielder Tyler O'Neill came to the rescue.
Keegan Aiken is ready. Here's his pitch. And he swings and drives one to left. High and deep. And this ball is long gone. A walk-off home run. Tyler O'Neill and the Red Sox have won it. Their first walk-off home run of the year. The final 5-3 Red Sox.
That's Joe Castiglione on Red Sox Radio. So Boston steals back a 5-3 win in 10. And then Jazz Chisholm really made it count for the Bombers.
2-1. Jazz grounds it. Diving stop lit. Throw to the plate. Not in time. It's wide. Birdie scores. Jazz Chisholm wins the game. And the Yankees walk off the Royals 4-3-11.
Our friend Emmanuel Barbari on Yankees Radio. The Bombers extended the game in the 10th. They won it in the 11th on that hit. 4-3 over the Royals. So the Yanks lead the Orioles by a game and a half in the East. KC falls 4.5 behind Cleveland in the Central. And the Sox stay 4 games behind the Twins for the last wild card spot, Minnesota topping Anaheim 6-4. Week 2 in the NFL is now. Dolphins and Bills in Miami tonight. The Fins without Raheem Mostert because of a chest injury. Fellow running back Devon Achane is a game-time decision with an ankle. Lamar Jackson back at Ravens practice yesterday after skipping Monday's session with general soreness. And Asia Wilson set the WNBA single season points record in last night's 86-75 Aces win in Indiana. Wilson finishing with 27 points. She is now 17 clear of the mark that Jewel Lloyd set just last season. In the loss, Caitlin Clark missed 9 of 10 threes, scored 16 points and 6 assists. And maybe most importantly, guys, I have a ray gun update this morning.
Yeah.
You all remember sweet Rachel Gunn and her 0.0 breakdancing at the Olympics.
Legendary.
She and this sport doubling down because Ray Gunn is now the number one breaker in the world, according to the New World Rankings. Now, that's going to sound confusing post-Paris. So the World Dance Sport Federation had to issue a clarification earlier this week. Their rankings are based on points earned over the previous 12 months. But they did not include the Olympics or any qualifying events in these last 12 months. They also cleared the calendar pre-Paris to let the breakers get ready for the Olympics. So this batch of rankings is based on just a handful of old events. And Ray Gunn won one last October, almost a year ago. And that sole victory has her the number one breaker in the world right now.
You sound upset about this.
Well, just this poor lady does whatever she did in Paris. I got a 0, and the world mocked her. And then she becomes the number one breaker, and we re-mock her. And now we have to explain how this happened.
Well, if she was doing the kangaroo thing, I can understand why she went right to the top of the charts. listen, you don't mess around with the Dance Federation. They will end you, all right? These people seem like they're nice. Cutthroat. I wouldn't be surprised if they're taking names right now of anybody who mocks their organization, and it's going to be curtains for you. So I'm not messing with the dance people. Have you ever seen Dance Moms?
Yeah.
These people are psychos. You can't get in their way. Any kind of dance person. I know it's great, but the ballroom dancing, the jazz and tap, they seem like normal. They're kind of next to the cheerleaders. It's insane. So I'm not saying anything about these dance people. I feel like it's going to be my ass. Like, I am not doing it.
She did a great job. The rankings are very valid.
Where was this competition? It was not in, like...
It was last October.
In the United States.
It was the Oceania something.
Right.
And she won it. We don't know how
she
won it.
She's a national treasure over there. Around the world, not so much.
I mean, she's like is it a president of Australia? Whoever the head of state is had to defend her and tell her to calm down. And then this happens. Like, they almost should have, before they released the rankings, went, let's not release the rankings. Why are we going to do this girl dirty again right now? She does not need this.
Close your eyes and hit send.
Guys, like, maybe just, I don't know, do the rankings correctly. Like, why are you just not counting, like, dozens of events?
The Olympics.
The Olympics are dozens of events that actually matter that would not allow her to be the number one ranked person. To me, I think this is a work. I think that they know that they'll get headlines by making her ranked number one. So they're like, how can we finagle this thing to where it looks like she's number one and we can somehow justify it? Because this
I'm
is
telling
ridiculous.
You can't trust these dance people.
They're nuts. Agree. Clearly. And this is why they don't have. This is why they're not coming back to the Olympics. Because of shenanigans like this.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no. They're not coming back because it's breakdancing.
Relax.
And the judges were in costumes. That's why they're not coming back to the Olympics.
Wait, I thought everyone liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was ridiculous.
Really? I thought it was like the floor routine at the gymnastics. Those guys are amazing athletes. Like, it was basically gymnastics.
They lost me at the judges all in the same, like, vest and Kangol hats. And then I was out.
They lost me at Ray Gun.
Well, she came in dead last. Gosh. I mean, we don't say the person who comes last in the marathon, we're not like, oh, we got to take this, take the event away.
Well, you guys have seen Ray Gun is obviously is a really good breakdown. You've seen other moves of her. Like, there's these videos. She's just as good as anybody else.
I'm sure
she has totally normal moves.
Yeah, she did something weird for her routine.
Yeah, she tried. No. Like, there's videos. Like, she could do, like, the three-quarter spin, the head spin. Like, she could do all those things.
Oh, yeah, the famous three-quarter spin.
She's totally a good breakdancer.
No, Perloff became a low-key expert on this. It was the one thing you were looking forward to. You're tracking it. Like.
Yeah. And by the way, they took breakdancing was not going to be there already. It wasn't Ray Gun that killed it. There wasn't part of the 28 games. But I thought those guys are incredible athletes.
I'm not saying they were incredible athletes. It just did not feel like the Olympics. Watching it, it felt more like a skit than a sports.
Oh, okay. Compared to the floor routine in gymnastics where Simone Biles does like 10 flips and does jazz hands for 30 seconds.
She didn't have a hype man following around. She didn't run on the mat and slide across and do like a jazz hand.
Yes, I mean, the floor routine, when they pause between their actual moves, is the silliest thing. They're like,
they're catching their breath because they just did 18 somersaults in a row.
That's what the breakdancing is. It's just basically a bunch of gymnastic moves. They all weigh like 83 pounds.
Those dudes are breakdancers. They couldn't be gymnasts.
Yes, like, they could. Oh, they totally could. They just had never had access. No. You don't know what it's like out there on the street.
It's access?
It's access. Dude, honestly, did you see the story about Victor, the Florida guy? Like, you think he was getting on the U.S. Olympic team? His dad was a breakdancer. He's a breakdancer. He had a piece of cardboard and a dream. And that's it, Bogus.
Perloff defending the little guy.
A piece of cardboard and a dream.
Honestly.
You think Ray Gun had a piece of cardboard and a dream? Clearly. I think hers
was a
little...
Outback.
Watch a half hour on Victor Montalvo and you will totally change your mind. Like, this is a great sport. Why have you called it a sport?
Yeah, that's where we are. I just don't... It's not an Olympic sport to me.
Well, all the other Olympic sports are ridiculous, too.
Because they're ridiculous because they've been in the Olympics since, like, Athens.
So, you mean, like...
Wait, what's more ridiculous, though? Having to, like... ski through the woods and shoot something or go on a snowboard through a half pipe or like break.
Yes, thank you. And like, by the way,
there's room for everything.
You're telling me all these sports have been around since Athens?
Right. No, but that
there's no half pipe in Athens.
Skiing biathlon thing like has like military roots from like the 1800s. It's ridiculous by
from
its
a James Bond movie.
The Olympics.
Do you remember when I asked if the triathlon is back to the ancient Greeks and Bogus had to remind me they didn't have bikes back then?
By the way,
that was a low point of my life.
Can we just pause on Bogus saying that the biathlon has military roots to the 1800s?
That's something I did not expect to hear.
I totally believe you, but I never...
The history of that event has some kind of military background.
I'd hope.
The winter one where they ski and shoot, that has some kind of military connection.
Perloff said, back to James Bond.
Yeah, there's a James Bond movie where Roger Moore is skiing and shooting at the same time.
It's actually great. Then he skis right off a cliff and he's and his parachute comes out, and it's the Union Jack flag. Yeah. I've watched that one.
I just think breakdancing is too late. Like steeplechase, if you introduce steeplechase now, I'd call BS on it, but it's been in the Olympics for a long time.
Yeah, because running in wet shoes is...
And jumping over puddles. Annoying. It makes total sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I like these weird sports. Like flag football, is that going to be fun? Three-on-three basketball was not fun.
I don't watch that.
Very specifically not fun to watch.
Yeah. The rules are weird.
But I don't know.
It's not watchable.
I thought, okay, Bogues, will you at least acknowledge that they are good athletes?
Yes, and I'm sure they're all the cardboard and dream stories. I get it. I just, I don't need it in L.A. in 2028.
Where it's got to be. In America, we invented it. It was invented 100 blocks north of where we're sitting right now.
Let's
and you're not
there.
Into it?
No.
Let's go stand on the corner 100 blocks north of here. It's been so completely gentrified. There hasn't been anyone breakdancing 100 blocks from here in at least 25 years.
200 blocks.
Starbucks. There's probably a Starbucks without breakdancing.
Totally. There's four Starbuckses just on every corner.
There's actually street signs. No breakdancing zone.
All right. Well, thank you. 855-212-4227. Maybe a poll question. It's a little maybe out of left field. Do you want breakdancing in 2028?
Yeah.
Again, people are going to be like, is this July?
That's 100% yes.
Coming up, a message from Aaron Rodgers that might be falling flat. Get to that next. Geez, the Yankees win one game, and now we're playing Sinatra?
Damn right.
Manny Rodriguez with us this morning. Good morning.
Start spreading the news.
Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Never a bad time for Sinatra. But let's get to Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Trying to settle a pretty rattled fan base is what he's trying to do, Pearl. Rodgers, after the team did not look very good against the San Francisco 49ers, Rodgers looked fine, but the defense got absolutely smoked.
Yeah.
Says the Jets fans need to stay relaxed.
I mean, I think we always got to stay relaxed. It's a long season. I think at times people think the season is like you're out in the prairie or the desert and you're wandering around trying to find water. But it's more like a nice, slow bolero, you know, where we're just swaying with the music and reacting to whatever comes to us and through us, and just trying to not get too high with the highs or too low with the lows.
Probably could have just said that.
That's a big llama.
Try not to get too high or too low. Probably didn't that car analogy. Yeah. I didn't really understand it, but.
Well, I think to be a professional athlete, you kind of have to take that attitude. Because if the guys on the Jets took the loss as hard as the fans did, then they wouldn't be able to function for week two. So I understand what Aaron Rodgers is saying.
All right. Now, he didn't go as far as to go R-E-L-A-X, which is obviously one of his famous quotes that Perloff once also famously butchered on the Dan Patrick Show. Rodgers said the media landscape, though, has changed since he made that infamous quote.
The league is a lot different than when I said relax years ago, in that there's just so much more coverage, that there's so much more opportunity for overreaction. So I get it. We want to win. The fans want to win. The organization wants to win. But the process has to be the same. You know, if it's good enough in week one, it's good enough in the playoffs. So we got to stick to the process and the preparation, the way that goes, and trust that it's good enough. You know, like a nice, smooth bolero.
Again, with the car. Anyway...
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
This is all well and good, Perloff, and you're right. This is the attitude that the team should take. But when Rodgers said the other day, don't jump off the bandwagon, Jets fans, and if you're going to leave us after one loss in week one, don't come back. Now, he might have said a little tongue-in-cheek, but you can't say that to this fan base. Because the Jets fan base and the Packer fan base are two very different types of people. And the fact that one team plays in a city nicknamed Title Town, and the other team fan base is the Jets, which is a national punchline until Aaron Rodgers arrived. So he's got to be a little like, you got to understand who you're talking to here. Now, the Jets fans, like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to them to have Aaron Rodgers. But you got to understand, like, you're walking into something that has existed long before you got there. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be pain. There's going to be, when they fall short of expectations, people are going to be nervous about it because they've actually got their hopes up very high on Rodgers and what he's going to deliver.
I mean, on the this could sound mean, but on the list of Aaron Rodgers and the Jets' concerns, the fans should be 1 millionth. Who cares?
Well,
they have a football game. They're going to Tennessee. Like, they have a game plan to do. What the heck does Aaron Rodgers care what the Jets fans think?
Well,
I think he's a bum.
I think he should. Don't say if, you know, you're going to jump off, don't come back. Like, there's no need to antagonize the fans like that either. Even if you are saying it tongue-in-cheek, they have every right to feel how they want to feel. You never take on the fans. That's just like, that's rule number one of being a professional athlete. You never win when you take on the fans.
But the way he was saying it, though, was not as antagonistic as the words are. If you put it in context, he was just feeling, like you said, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek. I don't think he's taking on the fans.
No, but it's just like, you got to realize you walked into a place that's got a lot of scar tissue. It's not like the Packers. The Packer fans, for as much as the expectations are very high there because it is title town and all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, you have years of history to tell you to RELAX. The Jets fans, quite frankly, should panic. Like, I'm in favor of it. Pull a fire alarm. Run around with your head like your head's cut off. They have seen so many seasons get derailed before we even get to Halloween. It's not the same as Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares about any of that because he mentioned the process. Like, the process is the same whether you're in New Jersey or you're in Green Bay or I think, you know, he has a job to do Monday to Friday. I don't think he's really, like, he doesn't interact with any fans. So I think that I understand what he's saying. Like, I think he's trying to calm the fans. But you said car. He keeps saying,
what's he saying?
Bolero. And I'm trying to think, I thought, I'm like, oh, that must be some kind of wine. I think it's a kind of music. But I'm trying to Google that.
Well, I was just picking up on the context clues. He said, you're in a bolero swaying to the music, right? On the prairie?
Bolero, is that a type of music? Help me out. Maybe, is there a car called a bolero? I have no idea. I don't know what he's talking about, but he is emphasizing this word. So I think we need to figure out what it is.
I'm not trying to lean into the gender stereotypes around here.
Big shout out to all the women backing up the fellas.
But you got, I got three guys sitting here with me.
Yeah.
Manny, Perloff, EJ on Zoom. EJ, you don't have a license, actually, so I'm going to disqualify you from this. You are clearly not a car guy.
Yep.
I'm sorry. You dudes don't know. Is he talking about a car? I feel like this
said
is your
bolero,
territory.
Like bolero, like the flamingo. Like, I don't know. Like, is there a bolero? Isn't there a movie called, or there's a song called Bolero?
Well, there is a Mexican toy called the bolero, which is not at all what I think Aaron Rodgers is talking about, because I don't think he knows what a bolero is.
Yeah,
the
there's an old
context.
Movie called Bolero. I thought it was a dance, but or a song, like
the
a
bolero
music.
Is a rugged Jeep-looking car, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know that car. I
mean, ESPN quoted him as saying bolero.
A Mahindra bolero.
According to the always trusty Wikipedia, bolero is a genre of song which originated in Eastern Europe, in Eastern Cuba in the late 19th century, part of the Trova tradition. So apparently it's a Cuban dance.
I feel like we're playing a game of balderdash here. Like, everyone comes up with their own definition of what this thing is. I'm seeing the Mahindra Bolero is a rugged MPV known for its value. It's tough, built, tackles any job, and the torquey diesel engine delivers power for most road surfaces. It's a no-nonsense choice for those who need a reliable, reasonably spacious, and affordable vehicle.
I thought he was talking about Bolero, like the movie Bolero, which I actually don't even remember, but I know it was a thing way, way back in the day.
I don't know what that is.
Wait, play the quote again. Let's get the context clue here.
The league is a lot different than when I said relax years ago, in that there's just so much more coverage, that there's so much more opportunity for overreaction. So I get it. We want to win. The fans want to win. The organization wants to win. But the process has to be the same. You know, if it's good enough in week one, it's good enough in the playoffs. So we got to stick to the process and the preparation, the way that goes, and trust that it's good enough. You know, like a nice, smooth bolero.
That doesn't help. Context is not helping me.
Well, you want to know what's funny? So I'm looking at these Mahindra Boleros, and the only, I'm trying to see how much they cost, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this rugged Jeep, and I can only get it in, like, the Indian denomination. Like a lakh, LAKH, the money in India?
This is a rabbit hole I did not expect on a Thursday morning.
My dumps were super smooth.
All right, coming up, which team needs to avoid an 0-2 start? We get back to things we know. Football, next.